Good evening and welcome. Let's stand and open with prayer, please. Father, you gave your Son to die for this world, a world that is perishing. Lord, we gather tonight to be washed by your word, encouraged by your word, corrected by your word, guided by your word, instructed by your word. Father, then as we pray, Lord, may your Holy Spirit guide our hearts to pray according to your will tonight, Lord. For we know that, Lord, if we pray according to your will and ask in the name of your Son Jesus, that you will answer our prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for the privilege of being here and the reverence we give to your word now as we open it and study it. Lord, may we be moved. May this night, Lord, may you speak to us. May we have you, Lord, the creator of the world, speak to each and every one of us here tonight, Lord. We pray and ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please take a seat. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 5, verse 1-11. We're going to cover. Many children are asked what they would like to be when they grow up. When I was a child, the baby boomers, it was, you know, firemen, police officers, soldiers, and sailors, cowboys, other such things. Tonight I want to look at what God wants you to be. The person God plans and desires for you to become. It's interesting that 2 Corinthians 3:16 says that the Word of God is divinely inspired, and that the reason that we're given it is for it to mature us, to make us the person that God desires us to be. So if you're not in the Word, you won't become what God wants you to be. You can pray, you can go to church as often as you like, you can read books, but if you're not in the Word, you won't become the person that God wants you to be. Do you believe in miracles? The greatest miracle God performs, and people overlook it, is the miracle of salvation in a lost sinner, someone being changed. Why is this the greatest? Because the miracle of salvation meets the greatest need. For without it, sinners like you and I are condemned forever. If I die and I don't know Christ, I'll go to hell, apart from God forever. Eternal darkness on my own. The miracle of salvation cost the greatest price. It's the most expensive redemption. It cost the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross at Calvary. Now, God accomplished other miracles. John tells us in John 20 that there would be not enough books in the world to write down all the things that Jesus did. And he accomplished miracles simply by the act of his will. He spoke the word and it was done. But your salvation, my salvation, needed a costly sacrifice. And he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. He gave him to die for the sins of the world. Jesus healed the sick. Many people want that. Jesus raised the dead. People desire that. But they all eventually died again. He fed the hungry, 5,000, 4,000. But they too eventually hungered again. But when God forgives a repentant sinner, he does a work that lasts for time and eternity. When sinners receive God's precious gift of grace through faith, they experience a miracle that makes them the children of God forever. So the question is, what is God's second greatest miracle if salvation is the first? May I put it to you that God's greatest miracle leads us to God's second greatest miracle, and that is the transforming of his child, a sinner, into the person he desires them and you and I to be. The new birth is not the end. People come, get saved, so it appears they say the sinner's prayer. Sometimes we never see him again. But the new birth, when Helen and I got saved, was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, to become like Christ, that he might be the firstborn Jesus among many brethren." That's awesome news. It's a great privilege. Because when we become born again and then we grow and follow and walk with Christ, we discover the gifts and talents God has given us. Never knew that. We learn how to call upon God's awesome power in times of need that he has promised us. We learn how to use those gifts and talents for the blessing of the body of Christ and for others, all to the glory of God. Never couldn't do that before. We find ourselves doing things we would never ever have dreamed we would be doing. I was thinking about it myself today, driving to work, how I hated homework and how I would go to high school, carried all the files, and why my schooling was a failure in the sense because I didn't do the homework. I didn't learn. I didn't want to learn. I just did what I had to do and tried to do. And yet now I am studying every day. I'm reading and learning and looking at languages and topography and history and prophecy, and it's all through the one book. I have a library of many hundreds of books. I'm always reading and learning and studying. It's been a big change. But as we grow also, all the while, we're growing closer and more intimate with our precious Lord and Savior with each day of our salvation. All this happened to a man called Peter, we're going to look at tonight. Now, people often criticize Peter. He was the one, he sank in the water, and he was the one that denied Jesus three times. But really, they're wrong in doing so. Peter was not faultless, neither are we. Jesus Christ made his life a miracle. Peter, like us at some time, spoke when he should have listened. Have you ever done that? He acted when he should have waited. Have you ever done that? Gee. But Jesus loved this big fisherman and transformed him into an amazing servant of the Lord. Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine in the Gospel of John, the wedding in Cana. But that was nothing in changing Simon, a piece of clay, into Cephas, the rock. That's God's greatest miracle. And God can and will do the same thing for you and I. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have experienced the greatest miracle, the first, that of new birth. Now, tonight, it's time to put your life into his hands and experience God's second greatest miracle. That is, letting God make you into the person He desires and plans for you to be. Jesus can heal bodies. Jesus can calm storms by saying the word. Everything in creation obeys Him. But to make your life a miracle, He needs your cooperation. When He was in Capernaum and one or two other places, He did no great works there because they did not believe or have faith in Him. You see, for you to become the person God wants you to be, He needs your cooperation. Father, as we read your word tonight, I pray you'll move by your Spirit and change this group here tonight. We're only a small number. But it's fascinating, Lord, that you don't look at large numbers or massive numbers. Throughout the word, your word, I find that it is the remnant, the few, the couple, the three, the one. That if we give our lives and follow in their footsteps as they gave theirs, if we believe with all our hearts, if we follow in your footsteps and offer our lives as living sacrifices, Lord, you can change us. I pray tonight, Lord, as this small gathering gathers, Lord, you'll do a miracle here tonight in each and every one of our lives. In Luke chapter 5, let's read, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," that's the Sea of Galilee, Kinneret it's called as well, "and saw two boats standing by the lake, both, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Work was done. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out further into the deep.'" Go further. "Drop down your nets for a catch." "But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners," that's the fishing partners, "in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. Such was the number of the fish. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Oh, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished." These were seasoned fishermen, professionals. "They were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee," here with the partners, "who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus." Paul said, "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now God, the Bible tells us in many places, is looking for those who will stand for Him, who will serve Him. Moses was caring for a flock of sheep, a failure in Egypt, when God measured him to become the deliverer of Israel from slavery in Egypt. God sent a lion and a bear to threaten a little boy's flock of sheep. His name David. When God measured David as a boy and measured him to be a giant slayer and a mighty king. Rebecca, she was giving water to a stranger and to his camel, and found out at that time that she was being measured to become the wife of Isaac. We're all being measured. Peter was about to find out that he was to be measured on a day he had caught no fish. Interesting. So two, you and I are being measured. So let's slide out the ruler that Jesus used on this day, that he stepped onto Peter's boat, and Peter's life began to become the second greatest miracle. Firstly, how do you respond to disappointment and failure? You see, up to this time, Peter and his friends, business partners, professional fishermen, had been with Jesus, but their relationship was still somewhat casual. Like a lot of people today who go to church, it's a casual relationship. It's a part-time relationship. So returning home and back to business, back to fishing, the four men had fished all night. That's a lot of labor. And they had caught nothing. They're professionals. And now they are preparing their nets so they could fish again. They didn't just throw their nets in the bin and go, well, that's it, I'm done. Prepared their nets, why? To have another go. True fishermen aren't quitters. And this may be one of the reasons Jesus chose fishermen. They'd worked all night and experienced disappointment and failure. But that was not going to stop them having another crack. Let's mend the nets, let's wash them. Get ready for another chance. If you read the Bible, you'll discover that God's people experience failures in spite of what many churches preach today about absolute positive, everything's going to be fantastic when you become a Christian. Oh, yeah, you're never going to be sick. Everything's just going to be rosy. You'll never lose your job. You'll never go through a difficult time, never have a flat tire. Things will just be rosy. But if you read the Bible, you'll discover that God's people experienced failures. Rattle off Abraham through. Sometimes it's their own fault. Sometimes it's other people's fault. In the case of Peter and his fishing buddies, it was part of God's plan. You know, sometimes God plans for you to have a failure. Sometimes God plans for you to lose your job. Sometimes God plans for you to have that relationship break. Jesus keeps the fish out of the nets as easily as he puts them in. Remember that. Jesus keeps the fish out of the nets as easily as he puts them in. If Peter had had a big haul the previous night, he may have been hesitant going out again. Oh, Lord, we're done. We're loaded. Can't take any more fish. We've got nowhere to put them. We've got to salt them all. You know, as we said, freezers haven't been invented. Look at all the work we've got to do. We've got to clean them. We've got to prepare them. We ain't going out again. It's interesting. Because sometimes we come to church and when we fail, we think, this is wrong. God, what are you doing? God's going, I'm doing exactly what you need to go through for you to change, for me to use you. But Peter's disappointment paved the way for his success. God loves turning failures into successes for his own glory. Joseph's brothers sold Joseph into slavery, but God made him second to only Pharaoh over all of Egypt. Elimelech and his family went to Moab and disobeyed God to escape the famine. But Ruth, the Moabitess, became the great-grandmother of King David. Satan used Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus, but Christ's death on the cross defeated Satan and paid the price for the sins of the world. With God, there are no permanent defeats. It always leads to victory. It always leads to victory. Peter passed his first test. He was no quitter. Secondly, how do you respond to authority? It's a problem today. Paul said it would be a sign of the last days that people would not respect authority, parents or anything else. Jesus needed a platform to speak. The crowd was gathering, a pulpit to teach from. So he asked Peter to let him use his boat. Jesus preaches. Peter's in the boat mending his nets and listening to every word Jesus is teaching. It's a captive audience. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Jesus took command of Peter's boat, asked him to push out into deeper water, to let down his nets for a catch, verse 4. What was going through Peter's mind with this request? Well, we need to understand the fishing at Galilee and Peter's life as a professional fisherman. Peter's a professional fisherman, and the guy that's in the boat is a carpenter. He makes things out of wood. He doesn't fish. Peter and his fisherman friends knew from experience, this is their life, this is their business, on the Sea of Galilee, that you caught fish in the shallow water in the nighttime, not in the deep water in the daytime. What would all of Peter's fishing buddies be saying as he carried out Jesus' wishes? You can't, mate. What are you doing out there fishing? You're an idiot. You see, the authority of Jesus challenges our training. It challenges our expertise. It challenges our experience and even our reputation. But Jesus created the sea Peter was fishing on. And Jesus created the fish that are in the Galilee. When Jesus asks for our all, he is only asking that we return to him what he gave us in the first place and what he can manage far better than we can. In spite of his reservations, Peter called Jesus master and acknowledged his right to give orders and expect obedience. The key to a successful life is found in obedience to God's commands. Joshua chapter 1, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, tells us that. Proverbs says the same. Turn not right to the left, but follow the word of God. Don't turn to the right, to the left, and you shall have great success, it says. And so, in verse 5, Peter says, because you say so, I will let down the nets. God honors faith. And faith is revealed by obedience. How faithful are you? By how obedient you are. Faith is simply obeying God in spite of the feelings within us, the circumstances around us, or the consequences before us. Peter passed the second test. He submitted to Jesus' authority and obeyed him. Thirdly, how do you respond to success? At Peter's request, others joined in helping pull in the catch. Such was the enormity of the haul. Boats nearly sinking with so many fish caught where you weren't supposed to catch fish at a time fish shouldn't be there. How did Peter respond to such amazing success? He shared it with others. God blesses us so that we might be a blessing to others. I will bless you, God said to Abraham, and you will be a blessing, Genesis 12:2. What we selfishly keep, we ultimately lose. I know there's people in our church, regular, that don't tithe, that don't give. Been coming for a long time. Nothing. Because I see in their lives the result of that. I see that they're hanging on and everything flows through their fingers. No matter how hard they work, how hard they strive, they never get anywhere. You see, what we selfishly keep, we ultimately lose. What we generously share, we confidently keep. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:35. because when you give, you also receive. Give it and it will be given to you, Luke 6:38. Peter was humbled by the blessing of God. How easy Peter could have stood up and said, look what I've caught, man, look how good a fisherman I am. Instead, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. When success humbles you, that's why I hate bragging. When someone invites themselves to come and speak in this church, no chance. When someone says, I'm going to be a great youth leader, I want to do this. When someone says, I'm good at this, I go, straight away, alarm bells. When someone says, well, I don't know if I could do that, I think straight away, you're on the right track. When success humbles you, failure won't crush you. But if success makes you proud, failure will discourage you and perhaps destroy you. More Christian workers have been ruined by success than by failure. Where there is godly character, success brings humility. Peter's statement was both right and wrong. Yes, he was a sinner, as are all of us, but no, Jesus had no plans to depart. In fact, he was about to call Peter to follow him to the very end. Peter on his knees felt his unworthiness. He had the right attitude but spoke the wrong words. Maybe that's true for you and I. You see, some people only swell when they are especially blessed of God, but Peter grew. God gave him great success and he did not become proud or take any credit for it happening. When God has richly blessed you, the safest place is to be at the feet of Jesus where Peter was. Peter passed the third test. He knew how to handle success. Finally, how do you respond to the life of faith? Because the just shall live by faith. That's what it's about. Christians don't live by feelings, don't live by finances, they live by faith. We don't live by emotions. Our hearts are wicked and they deceive us. As you read through the Gospels, the phrase, do not be afraid, is found many, many times. And in Luke's Gospel, over 7 times. But what was there for Peter to be afraid of in verse 10? For one thing, this one miracle had taken the wind out of all his training and past experiences. And Peter had to start life all over again as if he knew nothing about fishing. This wasn't supposed to happen like this. That could unnerve a man. May people today, maybe you, find your identity. Many people today, and maybe you, sometimes men do especially, we find our identity in our vocation. It's usually go, so when men talk, it's like, hi, I'm so-and-so. And then the next question is, so what do you do for a job? That's the identity. You know, Christians don't have jobs. They have vocations, which means callings. You are called to fulfill certain purposes in this world. Peter's fishing experience was not or would not be wasted. He had bigger fish to catch. The same courage, tenacity, cooperation, and wisdom that made them good fishermen would help them to be great evangelists in God's hands. Jesus called them that day to a life of faith, verses 10 and 11. Now follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. The 4 men signed their names to a blank piece of paper, as it were, and Jesus wrote the contract without asking for their counsel. You either reject or accept the will of God. You never negotiate it. You either reject or accept the will of God, you never negotiate it. It's a yes or a no. The life of faith means following Jesus, and that means he goes before us and prepares the way. Let's wrap it. The life of faith is not a leap in the dark. That's not faith. That's human philosophy. I think I can. I know I can. I will. I'll psych myself. I'll have greater faith. No. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The life of faith is not a leap in the dark. We follow the shepherd. He leads the way. You know, sometimes we're still acting like goats, and God says, I want you to be a sheep. Be a sheep. It's the most wonderful life when that thinking in your mind changes from you being a goat who says, I know what you want me to do, but I know the Bible says, but I know this is how I should react, but I know what the Word says about that situation, but my situation is different. My circumstance is different. That's how you become a goat. You just butt heads with God on everything. Sheep, they just follow. That's all they do. That's all God wants us to do. It's the most wonderful life. It's called grace. John 10 is one of the most amazing passages in the Bible that you should know and read often. He is the light of the world, the shepherd. And we are guided by the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We don't walk off leaping into blind faith. No such thing. There are no self-made people in the ranks of Jesus' disciples. Because our Lord's promise is, I will make you. I will make you a fisher of men. I will make you. Remember, we're the clay. And he's the potter. Remember when the clay got it wrong and said, I don't want you to make me like this? Can't do that. Peter passed the fourth and final test. He left everything and he followed Jesus. Father, I pray now as we come to you in prayer for the needs of this church, for the not only on the cards, but the spiritual needs that you've laid upon our hearts tonight, Lord. I pray, yes, there's just a few of us here tonight. But I know, Lord, and I know in my heart tonight you're speaking to us, that it's always in the smallest gathering. Always when we're at our weakest in what we appear and see, seem to be, here, are, that you do the greatest work. Because, Lord, it is all you. So tonight, Lord, as we, a small group representing this church, gather to pray, Lord, we look forward to your Holy Spirit guiding us in prayer and powerfully impacting our lives and the lives of every man, woman, boy, and girl that comes into this place and the community around us as we pray tonight in the power and in the name of that there is no other name by which we can be saved in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray this now. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.